their neighbors. And welcome to the Blind Handyman Show, recorded at the Little Ranch House right here on Southwood Drive in Lufkin, Texas. And this is show number 75.
It is show 75.
And it is none other than April 12th, 2004. It's good to have you along today. For the next hour, we're going to talk about building, repairing, and maintaining, all designed, of course, with the blind in mind. The host for the show, ladies and gentlemen, Donald Shaw.
Well, Mr. Tom, when is all this rain? When is it going to go away, man?
Oh, I don't know, but I wish it would. And I'm ready for it to go, I'll tell you. Don Patterson, hi there.
Hi there. Well, somebody told me it may be, we may be about 11 inches over our yearly quota of rain by this time.
11 inches?
I don't know whether it's a rainy night in Georgia, but
good,
it looks like going to be one here.
My name's Tom Houston, but ladies and gentlemen, here he is, the creator, the producer of the Blind Handyman Show.
Get
here he is with
chance.
Us right now, Phil Parr.
Hello there. Roast cooking. I'll give you some idea about 100 times. Anyway.
Yeah.
That old roast, 12 pounds of it. We got lots of food to eat. You didn't. I wondered if you were going to introduce our guest or
no,
let
no,
me.
No, I was waiting on you.
Kind of waiting on
he
me.
He didn't have permission slip from
didn't
me.
Have permission slip. Oh, I guess not.
Never take anything for granted on this.
Well, you've heard of the Everly Brothers. And no doubt. And the Ames Brothers. And the now, we have with us, ladies and gentlemen, the Vic Brothers today. Now, you probably remember their hit. Their hit back in the 50s called I Love Vulcan and You Should Too. It's a Birmingham joke.
I thought they made cough drops.
That's it. Those of you who think it's a cough drop makers, it's
Did
not.
Did you get Vic cough drops?
Vic's cough
Lord,
drops.
We wish it was.
Gordon Vic from Birmingham, Alabama. From actually, Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia.
Hey, how's everybody doing today?
Hey, it's good to have you with us.
We're
good.
It's great to be here.
You look just like I thought you would.
Oh, gee. You too.
Gordon is going to be in-house with us. We take this for granted. We do it every time. But you have listened to several of these broadcasts and had just, I guess, really no idea how we did it or what the room looked like or what sort of stuff we used. And here you are. To us, it's nothing. But to you, it's kind of something different,
It is. Something. It's very different to me.
You don't get to see four old men sit around and
buy these microphones.
Buy these old microphones and have a few brewskis and hope for the best every day. But you did today, didn't you? We're glad
That's
to have
right.
you.
That's I'm glad to be here.
Gordon, of course, is the Avicon gutter man who does what do you call it?
Maintenance-free.
Maintenance-free gutters. Yes. No leaves or anything in them. And when you see one, you understand how they work, and it's just kind of a unique design. I wish I'd thought of it.
Yeah, no kidding.
I wish I'd thought of it.
I bet you do.
And I guess you're still doing that.
That is correct. We are.
And you have two or three other businesses. You have a pest control business on the side? I mean, also?
Well, my daughter takes care of that.
Your daughter takes care of the pest control? And what other businesses do you have?
I do a little halon work, service work, which is fire protection.
That's installing in businesses of sprinkler systems?
Yes, but now it's just maintenance and keeping them going.
Well, and you did a lot of insurance work back during the hurricane season. You went down to Florida one time?
Yes, we did work the Miami hurricane, and we spent a year and 9 months down there putting that place back together.
So you've done a lot of different things, tried a lot of different stuff in your life.
Yes, I have, and enjoyed every one of them.
To try to figure out that magic way to make money, and I guess
a dollar.
Yeah, and I, from what your brother Tom tells me, have done actually pretty well at all of it, haven't you?
It depends on who you team up with, you know.
Yeah.
I've had some bad luck in that department. But, making the money is not a problem. It's keeping it.
That's
keeping it, yeah.
That's where I fall short.
I guess that's true, but you're sort of a jack of all. I mean, you seem to know a little bit about a lot of different
I'm very fortunate in the fact that I was in the military and I was trained in electronics. And of course, when I came out, I had a very high mechanical aptitude, and you combine the two.
Mm-hmm.
And then along with being around construction most of my life, it's gave me an insight into some things that most people don't get to see. And so I've really enjoyed every bit of it.
You've had a good life, haven't you?
I mean, sure have.
Other than having some little health problems now.
Yeah, I have a wonderful family to go along with all that, so it's really good.
Well, I don't know about the rest of your family, but I've certainly become fond of your old brother over the last 30 years.
Too.
Well, who wouldn't if it
were
around
before? Where does that brother live now?
He and I have been down a road or two together. We've tried several unsuccessful things to attempt to make a living. But it's all been fun, and it all worked out. We aren't wet or cold or hungry.
Oh, that's right.
So I guess that's... That's all that's important. Well, let's see. We don't have an email today. We didn't bring an email today.
No, but we're going to talk about an email that we received.
All right.
We are. Susie had written an email to the list here a couple of days ago talking about in her condo, maybe from the second floor, she's wanting a way to have a system between her condo and the very front entrance for someone to be able to talk to her when they come up to the door.
We're talking an intercom system.
Intercom without having to physically walk down the stairs every time to find out who's there. What she's wanting. Any suggestions on an intercom system or something to...
Go ahead. Okay,
go
but there's a wireless intercom system that is sold at the Radio Shack. That might get you some relief. However, it's a lot of trouble. But there is ways to get wires to that by using smaller wires and running around door trims and down staircases and stuff. There is a way you can conceal it.
But, wireless.
In some form of system.
The
wireless would be the way to go.
She would have to have access to a plug someplace, right? Wouldn't she not?
That's the only drawback to that. See, I've got, we talked when Don said something in the house a while ago. Gordon, you heard him, and that's just a little Radio Shack intercoms. I've got a half a dozen of them just scattered around different places. So if I'm out here and Luann's upstairs in her loft, she can give me my orders, make sure I'm doing what she told me to do. She can actually give me directions from her perch up there above the living room. And so that'll work, but so that you got to have electricity, and I'm not sure there is.
If you had an outlet down by the front door would be the question.
I think you have to be on the same transformer, am I right?
You have to be on the same transformer, but chances are they would be, wouldn't they?
I'm wondering if you could do something, and Gordon would probably know this, if she has a doorbell that went to her place, I wonder if you could use some of that on a wireless intercoms.
The way the email kind of talked is like there's one door like for several of these condos.
Okay.
And it may not necessarily be the people come to the first door for all four, I guess, of the units. So, I'm not sure.
It depends on what extreme you want to carry it. There is technology available. You can do 100 doors and define each one of them.
Well, sure you could.
From any single location, but a simple way would be, do you want it battery backed up? Is that what you're looking for?
And how much are you willing to pay would be the...
Well, that, yes.
would be the
one
biggie.
Thing I learned about in fire protection, of course, I'm an old fossil, and I'm from the old school, but before I truly retired from that, they came out with technology on fire protection. You could have 200 smoke detectors on one control panel, and you could do 200 different functions with them simply and on the same two wires.
What a deal.
It's because what you're doing is assigning each device an address and running it through a microprocessor.
Which would be the same way that they're able to turn on if you call Dish Network and order movies, they can enable your receiver to give you those movies.
Right,
That's the same way. It's an addressable system.
Right, right. So it just depends on what you want to spend.
But I think for the purposes of this, for Susie, I think I'd look into the Radio Shack. Cheap.
It'd be a good starting point, wouldn't it?
If she's got a lot of traffic in an area, you might have to also figure out a way to attach that unit to the wall and make sure somebody didn't make off with it.
It's got little things that you can hang it on the wall with. Yeah. They have a little hooks on the back that you can hang it on the wall with. The only thing is she's going to have 110 volts down there.
Someplace.
And then if somebody turns it off, which is just there's just a knob on the front that you can turn it off, then if somebody rings your doorbell and it's turned off, then
she won't get anything.
And she'll have nothing,
Right. put a UPS system on it, Phil.
Yeah. Yeah.
One of those $100 Radio Shack ones.
Yeah, one of those backup systems.
You could do that. But, you know, I'll bet you somebody, it depends on what you want to spend.
Right.
I bet if you called, there'd be somebody in town if you looked under, what would you look under in the phone book to find a thing like this? I don't know. Alarm systems. Okay. An alarm company would probably be, because you know they make driveway alarms that'll sit out there in the weather and rain out by a tree, and if somebody comes up your driveway, they'll alert you that someone
Well, talking along the same line, and there again, you know, she may even could do something over her computer. Just have a thing downstairs. I know you could do a camera.
That's what I was thinking about.
Because let me tell you, the I watched a whole program. Must have been on Channel 8 the other day, and it was showing about the cheap security camera systems. You can buy a camera for $9.95.
It'll
go to your computer, and it's a live camera.
I think some of them can do audio.
And it showed how you can put up some audio, and it showed like the old tic-tac-toe thing. You could have 9 or 27 different cameras on your screen at the same time.
Let me ask you this. Is this a transfer camera with a transmitter in it?
I don't know.
They make them wireless also.
Yeah, they're wireless, and so it just goes back to your computer.
Yeah, because if you figure the iRock transmitter will work, why wouldn't this work?
Yeah, right.
So
same
she might want to look into, you know, the little security camera with audio.
That might be just as good.
Yeah. Start talking to these computers. Goodness gracious. Sakes alive.
Well, that would be, but that would work, but then she'd have to, every time the doorbell rang, she'd have to run to her computer and boot it up, and then, you know, by the time, so you know, that might work, unless you want to leave it on all time.
Well, actually, though, in some situation, the camera may not do her, I don't know, her vision thing.
I'm not sure.
She has about like mine, about like me.
You can also run these cameras through your television, it would come on when the camera was activated.
But I bet if she calls some alarm guy in her city, he can tell her all there is to know about downstairs intercoms.
Well, she certainly dialed the wrong number here. I don't think we're giving her
one. We don't know a damn thing.
I don't think we're
going to come up with something, but I'm not going to give it any thought.
If we were there.
We'd.
And I know we agreed to stay away from politics
is
today.
Is there not a way to do that through phone lines?
Through phone lines?
Through phones, yeah.
Well, yeah.
Because there's intercoms on phones. Is there any way that could be adapted to work?
I would imagine so. Like you said, it just depends on how much money the girl wants
to
spend.
The
Radio
question.
Shack, you can do it for $60. You got an outlet down there.
Yeah.
That's cheap.
Yeah.
That's true.
And easy.
You just hang the intercom on the wall and you know, hope the Clyde who's at your door has sense enough to press the call button.
That's right.
You know, I know that we agreed to, before we did this afternoon, to stay away from the subject of politics. But I did hear a cute comment yesterday that I'll just give you that it's kind of funny. It's that the Bush economic plan has produced more gay weddings than it has jobs. I just thought that was funny, and I thought I'd share that with you. What do you think, Pat?
Well, I know that there's been a lot of gay weddings produced. I saw an interesting thing in the Lufkin paper, just reading, and I don't know in what context. Yeah. Emily just kind of spat it out that said that somebody's came up with is saying now that every time George Bush gets on Air Force One and goes to his ranch in Texas, the stock market goes down. So I don't know if that's good. I hadn't noticed the correlation.
It goes down?
Yeah, that's what they said.
Well, that's not good.
That's not good.
What atheist?
You know, but we actually made a little money, and I know you did, last year. The stock market, if you look carefully, well, you can still make a dime or two.
You can. Hey, you're talking about, you know, we were talking about, before the show, just people make money at different times, and somebody made the comment, you know, there were people who made money on September the 11th.
Sure there were.
They didn't want that to happen, but they did, and that was just the first thing that comes to mind. And what I do is the short sellers in the stock market made a lot of money that day.
Is it not true that it's always the small guy that loses in the stock market?
It is.
The big guys, they get all the insight, like Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
You know, they get all the insight.
How about Ken Lay?
What a deal, man.
I noticed Kenny Boy is still out. And we're getting in dangerous territory here, guys.
We're going to shut up.
Drifting into the abyss. And we do want to eat the roads before we... Oh, are we ready
we
to
do,
take
it? Don't we?
We're going to... It's a funny day for us to do it because it's raining, and it has been for it seemed like forever here in East Texas.
Like.
But we're going to talk about lawnmower maintenance, and we have, ladies and gentlemen, a lawnmower maintenance expert, a small engines expert.
We do.
Today. I don't know who that'd be, but we surely would have one.
We're going to give the name, would you?
Names have not been changed to make the innocent suffer. We're going to talk about that and whatever else we decide to talk about on More of the Blind Handyman back in just a minute.
The Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we formed this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job, but how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Blind Handyman. Be sure and tell a friend about the program and email us often, blindhandyman@hotmail.com. Now, here is more of the show with Don Shaw.
All right, we are back to talk with Gordon about that spring project that a lot of homeowners have got going on, cutting that grass and how to maintain your lawn equipment. And I know in my case, from time to time, that's turned out to be a major deal. So,
well, I would ask who all owns a lawnmower, but I think everybody does. And a lawnmower is the most abused piece of equipment I believe I know of.
About it. No question.
You
about
get
that.
Out of here, you don't even check the oil. You pour it full of gas. You mow all this grass with it. Yeah. You hit rock sticks.
Yep.
And get mad because it won't start.
That's right. That's right. And then sometimes I used to kick mine. So, yeah. I mean, it takes a lot of abuse.
Oh, yeah. Lots.
And then we use it all summer long, and then we roll it in the garage and say, to heck with you until next spring. You know, I don't want to see you again.
That's right.
Yeah. And then comes summer, we want to crank it up again the next summer.
Be able to pull that rope and start right out.
And we just pull it and pull it and pull it and pull it, and we can't figure out why it won't start. Yep. Well, you know, there's a few things that we could all do to them that might just get us through some of that trying time that we have with our lawnmower. And one would be to put a new spark plug in it. But first, before we put it away, make sure all the fuel is gone and run out of the carburetor, because gasoline has a tendency to gum up.
Uh-huh.
And if it does that inside that carburetor, then when it gums up in those little bitty cavities, fuel is not going to flow through them. So that's one reason it's not going to start.
I had that exact same problem one time, except I had it with a weed eater. And it was the same kind of deal. You know, it just the little jets in the carburetor clogged up, and, man, it would not start.
Well, you're talking about a weed eater and a lawnmower. You got two different animals.
Oh, yeah, two different animals.
You got a two-cycle engine and a four-cycle
engine. Oh, sure, yeah.
But anyway, we need to, on these lawnmowers, we need to make sure the fuel tanks are empty.
What, do you just run it until it quits?
Yes. What you do is, if it's just a push mower, just turn it up, pour all the gas out you can, and then crank it and let it run until it quits. And then when we get to our next mowing season, take a few minutes, put you a new spark plug in it, pour some fresh gasoline in it.
Uh-huh.
You might want to sharpen the blade, but I do want to forewarn you. When you sharpen the blade on a lawnmower, make sure you take the spark plug wire off.
Uh-huh.
Make sure you take it off, because just a half a revolution on that blade could start it.
Yeah, and you wouldn't want that.
I never thought of that. I guess that's true. Huh?
If you take the blade off and you want to sharpen it yourself, get you a flat file. Do not use a grinder.
All right.
Everybody takes a grinder and runs up there, and they don't do a thing but run the temper of the metal.
Mm-hmm.
So when you hit a stick, it knocks a dent in it and dulls it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But if you'll file it and never allow that blade to get hot, it will last a whole lot longer.
Of course, the best thing is take it somewhere and have somebody sharpen it.
Well, I'm the do-it-yourselfer, you know.
Well, sharpening your own lawnmower blade is a little much.
Well,
you probably change your own oil, don't you?
Well, I have, yes. There also is a drain plug in that lawnmower, and I think you should change it every season.
Really?
Yes. You need to drain it and refill it.
I have the testimony for the no-maintenance guy. Don, you remember over on Allendale when I first moved here, I bought the little $99 mower?
Yeah.
6 years it lasted. This year, I never did no spark plug, no oil change or anything, and this summer it would not start. It was a one-pull starter and was for 6 years, and I looked in, and it was completely out of oil. And so I set it down by the road, and somebody picked it up in 10 minutes. But that, you know, for $99, that lawnmower, I mean, that is the test of no maintenance.
Point is, you would have gotten 10 years out of it.
I would have. I really
would have.
The best little lawnmower, and I agree with you. If I'd have taken care of it,
you just let it run out of oil.
I didn't do it on purpose. It ran out on its own.
No maintenance.
It did.
That's right.
It didn't.
Oh boy!
Finally ran out.
How many times have you ever heard somebody say, "Well, the oil's the life of the car"? You know,
when
you're talking about automobiles.
Absolutely.
Same would apply here, wouldn't it?
Right. Absolutely. And push mowers are expensive now.
Yes, they are. I cannot find another $99 one. The cheapest I can come to is $136.
Right. Right. That's
back when they were $29, you could use it all summer and throw it away and get you a new one. Mm-hmm. But not anymore. It costs too much money. So, if you'll do those little things, the mower will last you a long time.
I got a question for you on blade sharpening.
Mm-hmm.
I know you couldn't do this, of course, with a file, but if you could, it might take forever. But let's just say you went with the grinder method. Now, I've heard of some grinders that have the right shape to them that you can put on the end of your drill and use. But let's just say, for argument's sake, if you were brave enough to try a grinder to sharpen your blade, I've heard before if you take more off of one side of the blade than the other, then it'll get everything out of balance, and then it could actually mess up the engine itself.
That's right.
Your blade gets out of balance.
When you sharpen it, you have to rebalance it.
Ah.
Now, this is not science. You don't have to computer balance it. What you do is place something in the center of the blade, and the heavy side will fall down. So simply grind a little bit off of it to balance the weight out until it will balance on something. It's not a problem. It's not very hard to do.
Oh, so you just physically balance it. I mean, you put it on the edge of the fence or the edge of something.
Absolutely, yes.
And see which side drops, and then you take a little more off that side.
Yes.
Well, Gordon, I'm not a blade sharpener, but if you did this like every year, wouldn't you think a couple or three swipes with a file? I mean, it wouldn't be a major deal each year if you did it.
That is a fact.
And wouldn't have to probably worry about balancing if you just kind of...
Not only does a grinder run the temperament of the steel, but it also takes off a lot of the blade.
A lot of
I've heard that. I've always heard that.
So if you used your flat file once a year, say, you could probably not have to do too much to
That is a fact. That is a fact. And it's not hard to do at all. But let me tell you about lawnmowers. I had a guy one time come to me, and he said, I got this tiller for nothing. He said, it cranks, but it dies. It just won't run. He said, I don't know what's wrong with it. So I got to looking, and what had happened is somebody had a tiller, and they put a lawnmower engine on it, and it wouldn't run. So I said, the problem is you've got an aluminum flywheel, and you need a cast iron for it to run because the blade on a lawnmower acts as the flywheel.
Okay.
The little aluminum thing you see on top called a flywheel only provides the electrical current for the ignition system. Used to, back in the old days, where lawnmower engines had points.
Yep.
and they always got wet and always got corroded. But we don't have that anymore.
Yep.
We have a what we call electronic ignition. It's simply a magnetic field is what it is. You don't have that to worry about. Yep. The only thing you can do to tune one up is to put a spark plug in it.
Uh-huh.
You see. So if you'll do what I'm telling you, that 5 years he got that lawnmower turned into 10.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It will save you money.
Yeah.
And if you'll do it every year, mowing's going to be a whole lot easier because you're not going to have those problems.
Of course, you got to have the spark plug wrench, the correct one.
That is correct.
Unless you want to buy a set.
That is correct.
On your spark plug, you can go to, if you'll take your old one, they'll gap it, or they're pre-gapped, right? That was always be a problem for visually impaired people, unless they have the right feeler gauge or knew the, but aren't the spark plugs pre-gapped?
There is a setting for it. But I think every plug I ever bought for a lawnmower, if it had a gap, I just put it in.
It's preset.
I didn't try to set it
because they're not really a high-tech piece of equipment at all.
Yeah.
Now, getting into weed eaters, weed eaters are two-stroke engines. They have oil mixed with the gas, and it gums up even quicker. Now, they do make an additive to minimize that. But I'm telling you people today, drain it, run all the gas out of the carburetor because... Really, the only thing that ever happens to a weed eater and a chainsaw is the carburetor. Unless they're just war slapped down out. Or you jerk the rope out of it. That's the two most common things. And it's because people leave fuel in them over the winter and they don't use them.
But then if you run the gas out of the weed eater, or the lawnmower, I guess, for that matter, it could apply to both, though. Will any kind of little rubber gaskets or anything in the carburetor dry out or anything over the winter?
No.
Okay.
Well, Gordon, on some... used to, when I was first mixing my oil and my gas, every year I would make up a gallon. It's about all, it'd last you all summer, for the weed eating.
I bet you put it in a plastic container, too, didn't you?
Put it in a plastic container.
Uh-huh.
Back at that time, they sold that stabilizer, and then now they sell the two-stroke oil that has it in it.
Already in it.
And so I was wondering, what should you do with your...
Do you believe in it? Do you think it will really... Let your weed eater sit there all winter long and not cause anything to gum up in the carburetor? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know what the...
No,
I've never,
I'm just saying...
I know it's available.
They used to sell it, and then now they don't... They say you don't need it with the new oil that you're buying.
Yeah.
Well, there again, I have an interesting... I have a Thomas moped, a 1998 that is a two-stroke engine, and there again I've changed the spark plug, but very little maintenance otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
Always keeps fuel, and that rascal will start right now in one kick.
Yep,
and has ever since I've owned it.
How often do you run it?
Well, I haven't ridden it in a long while, in 6 months now, but I used to ride it every day.
Uh-huh.
But I was just saying the I think maybe different engines. I've always had trouble with chainsaws and weed eaters.
Mm-hmm.
I have a Husqvarna chainsaw right now. It's great. Mm-hmm. But and I plan to take better care of it than I have anything else I've ever owned. But I mean, it starts very good, you know, very easily.
Well, what was the laugh about the plastic? Put it in the plastic can. I missed the joke.
Well, that's one of the biggest problems is keeping your gasoline in a milk jug. You know, that's a no-no.
Why?
Because of the deterioration in the jug. Those carburetors.
Mine is not a milk jug, but it's a
gas can.
If you have an approved gas container, fine.
It's a plastic. No, I mix it up in a gallon.
We've got a little one and a big one, and the little one is mixed.
That's
and
what
the
we've
big
got.
One is the same deal.
Well, right. I have the round one and the square one.
We've got that, of course, and we've got our lawnmower is a riding mower. And I chickened out. I bought the maintenance agreement, and I rebought the maintenance agreement because I don't want to have to put a belt on it.
Well, I think that was the best
and
thing you ever did.
My father-in-law can't put a belt on it, and my brother-in-law doesn't have time, and it would be left to me. And so I just bought the maintenance agreement.
That's fine. That's wonderful. Yeah, that's good. But, you know, it's just like your automobile. You have to render some maintenance on it if you expect it to perform when you go to use it. Because let me tell you something. A lawnmower takes some serious abuse.
Well, is it on the weed eater or two cycle? You know, here last year, y'all remember when I replaced the lines, the fuel lines? They got hard, brittle, and broke. Is that the nature of a two cycle engine?
I guess you had a plastic fuel line.
Yeah, they were rubber or the clear
plastic.
The clear plastic.
Surgical tubing.
Ryobi. Don?
Yeah, a Ryobi.
And they just, went out to crank it, and I felt my hand filled up with fuel.
Yeah.
And I'm going, what the deal is? And I looked, and the lines were just breaking in a little bit of pieces.
Well, that's the same kind of tubing they use as surgical tubing.
That's what
I guess you'd know, wouldn't you? You and I'd both know.
Is that
a hazard?
yes, it is. But plastic tubing, plastic of any kind, has a tendency to harden with age and become real brittle. And if you'll notice that, especially with this PVC piping that you see, especially your CPVC piping, y'all know what I'm talking about. It gets almost like glass at some point after you've had it a few years. It will break that easy.
This just flaked off in my hand, and when I put the new ones on, that thing runs fine. Let me ask you this. Speaking of PVC that you mentioned in the flagging, that gets into a whole deal about PVC fence. I'd like to know what you think of that.
Well, I don't know a whole lot about the fencing itself. But I do know that all of my experience with PVC, it has a tendency to harden and become brittle, and it can snap on, especially plumbing.
Right.
You know, I've seen that a lot. I guess it's like anything; it's going to dry out with age.
Out here, where we built, they made us use copper inside. Of course, then you get into the solder, and they talked about the mercury content in the solder unhealthy. Yeah. You know, and I thought they had out, but we have no PVC in our house outside. You know, running up to the house underground, they use PVC.
Yeah, that's common.
And then PVC plumbing.
Well, in your sewer.
Sewer lines, the 4-inch sewer lines. Mm-hmm. So,
it's not a problem in your big sewer lines because. I've never seen it be a problem, but I have seen it a problem in water lines.
Amazing.
Well, Gordon, I've got one thing here before we get too far away from two-cycle engines. Uh-huh. I guess two-cycle engines of any kind, whether it be your leaf blower, weeder, chainsaw, whatever you've got. A small engine mechanic told me one time that it was important before you start your two-cycle weed eater or whatever, every time to shake it well before you start it to mix the gas and the oil together would be better for your plug.
That's probably good advice, even though it's supposed to stay suspended.
Is it?
But that don't mean it always does. So he's probably seen it the other way.
So actually shake the chainsaw.
Yes.
Yeah, physically shake whatever you're starting.
The biggest mistake in cranking chainsaws and weed eaters is most people don't know how to go about it. From a cold start, you have to flood the engine.
You have to choke it.
You've got to flood it. So you got to choke it and choke it until it hits a lick or two.
Mm-hmm.
Back off half on the choke, crank it, let it run and warm up, and then take the choke off. And most people just think they choke it once or twice, take the choke off, it's supposed to start. Well, it can't.
You're saying flood the engine until you smell gas.
You absolutely flood it, yes.
Why?
You put it on full choke.
Because the oil-fuel mixture does not ignite as quick. It just won't ignite like raw gasoline will.
Yeah.
And but once ignited, then you create some heat at will. Once you get the cylinder hot and that oil fuel goes in there, then it'll ignite just like that. You don't have to choke it or anything.
Yeah.
I'm talking only from a cold start.
From a cold start. Okay. Yeah, yeah, that's good.
In my manual on the moped, it says, most important, choke before starting. And it goes into that. And if you put it in the choke, it automatically kicks it out of choke when you start it.
Uh-huh.
You know,
which is
that
a good
you can
feature.
Hear that choke go click. But if you don't choke it, you can stand there all day and it will not stop.
Right.
It
right.
will not stop.
I tell you, I have carefully avoided, and you'll notice today I've had very little to say, I have avoided learning about these things because I don't want to know about them. Because then I'll be responsible for them. And we've got weed eaters, two or three, and a couple of chainsaws and a push mower, and I don't want to know anything about them. I want someone else to do that. I'll handle the wiring and the radio stuff. Yeah. And if you want a CD, Doug, we'll just give me a call.
Small engines.
I ain't worried about it. I'm not going to force feed me small engines. Well, y'all carry on.
When I was a young lad.
When? Back a long time ago.
Yeah, about 11 years ago.
Good God.
And I'm sure my brother Tom over here will remember this. I used to work at a service station, and it was in the summer, and my only job was to fix lawnmowers. And I'm telling you what's the truth. I've never been so sick of lawnmowers in my life. They came in and drove.
Well, yeah.
Okay?
I bet they did.
I stayed humped over those darn things outside in the sun for $1.25 an hour, fixing them one right after the other.
Man.
Okay. And what I just told you was the basic problems. Okay.
Uh-huh. Carburetor gummed up.
Right.
Spark plug.
Yes. Yeah. Or, the rope being pulled out of one.
Yeah.
Back in those days, you had points. They left it out in the rain, and the points corroded, so you had to clean the points.
Water in the gas.
Yeah. Water in the gas. I mean, that's the typical things. But lawnmowers take so much abuse, I don't know how they do it. As you got to remember, they're air-cooled. So they run hot all the time. People fill up all the vents around the engine. You know, the fins that go around the cylinder?
Yeah, get all
stay
that
full of grass and stay
up in there.
Grass.
Yeah,
it just runs hot. You know, that's all it does is run hot. And it takes it. I don't know how it does it, but it does.
I don't either. I don't know.
Well, they have to, or nobody'd buy one.
That
I mean, they have
true.
To.
Yes, I mean, nobody would. But.
You wouldn't, you'd have to get a goat, eat the grass.
I've worked on lawnmowers that hadn't seen any air going around the cylinder in years. And still run.
What a deal.
Well, but that was a good job for high school. I guess you were a high school boy then.
Yeah,
man. Hell of a good job for high school boy.
What
a buck
deal.
And a quarter an hour back in the 60s.
Yeah.
You were happy. That got you, kept your car running, and you could take your sweetheart to the movies on Saturday nights or whatever.
$5, go to the movies, go out to eat, and buy a little gas for the car.
Well, if I were, I've said it, I've told Don Shaw this, living here in Lufkin, if I were 20 years younger, I'd learn how to work on jet skis. Here, there's no reliable person. My wife and I have owned two of them. We own one now. We have owned a Sea-Doo at one time, and you had to drive 50 miles to Livingston and take a number, and they would keep it all summer because you had so many to do, and then the season was over. And there's nobody here. Our Honda dealer is not a full-fledged Honda, so they don't even sell Honda jet skis. Uh-huh. They sell Yamaha. They can work on Yamaha. The other people can work on Kawasaki, but nobody works on anything else. And a man could do a landslide business, I think.
I've heard that complaint before in other areas. Yes.
Yeah, well, for jet skis.
If I was 20 years younger, I'd open a club.
There you go.
Well, you'd probably do better than I would in the jet ski.
There's a great need for a worst house type club in Lufkin, Texas. Nobody sees it.
I know the location, too. I know where the location is.
I wish I could find somebody to do one. All I want to do is play on Friday and Saturdays, me and Brian. Just sing a few tunes. Working Man Blues. Well,
there you go.
Had a little drunk on the weekends and sang a little bit of that.
Yeah.
Working Man Blue. Is it break time?
Yeah.
Hey, what are we going to talk about after break,
Sean?
You didn't plan that.
No.
Well, we better
what
think of something.
What can we come up with
we've
here?
We've held our guest over.
We've held our guest
Robert
over for good.
He is being held over for
we'll
the last
that's right, for the last
Frankie Brown trying to come in. We'll figure something to talk about in just a minute. More of the exciting Blind Andy Man Show back in a minute.
Thank you. site. From Houston's Taping for the Blind on the Houston Radio Reading Service. From the In Touch Radio Reading Service and on radio reading services all across the nation. And, of course, at acdradio.org. If your radio reading service is not airing Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman, let them know both shows are available free of charge. Contact us at blindlikeme@txucom.net or call 936-634-9500. That's the Blind Handyman and Blind Like Me at new times in new places. Help us spread the word to blind people all around the world. Blind Like Me and the Blind Handyman. Available free to qualified blind people and their sight-dependent friends.
Well, the whole point of the Blind Handyman Show is blind people have as many plumbing problems and household repairs to do as sighted people do, but we can't do them exactly the same way sighted people do, so we need some input from other blind people to find out how they do household repairs, so we started this Blind Handyman, and we got a list going. And as far as Blind Like Me is concerned, we want to use it as an educational tool. As I remember being a young adult, a young person, and thinking, well, how am I going to? I want a nice house and kids and a good job. But how am I going to do that? And I had no idea. And I think the Blind Like Me Show demonstrates the fact that it can be done even if you are blind. That's not a handicap. It can be done.
If you would like to be a guest on either show, or you can suggest someone as a guest, email us at blindhandyman@hotmail.com or blindlikeme@txucom.net.
Well, so far, it's been a labor of love.
Start of something good. A little journey into another world. The future lies before us. The realm of possibility.
You are listening to The Blind Handyman, the talk of the blind community. Our email address is blindhandyman@hotmail.com. If you would like to be part of the show, leave us a phone number and we will contact you soon. Now, here's more of today's show with Phil Parr.
Well, we're just actually kind of stumbling around. Tom has a... Can we tell him about your deal, your lift?
Yeah, why not?
Is it all right? Tom... I don't think we've ever mentioned this on the show, but Tom has a problem walking. We're all blind, and he can't walk, so we figure we all make a pretty good... you're either on crutches or in a wheelchair at all times, right?
Exactly.
You have to have one of the two to be able to walk. So Tom has gotten himself a great, big, nice electric wheelchair.
Yeah.
Now, I haven't seen this thing, but from what everybody says, it is a mover and shaker.
It's exactly like sitting in a chair that rolls, and you just push a little arm like a joystick on a computer.
On a game.
It'll get you down the road. Right?
What
yeah. Man, it's something else.
Well, Tom wanted to, there's no way, these things weigh, what do they figure?
This weighs 179 pounds.
179 pounds.
Yes, sir.
Wow.
And that's heavy. I mean, that's a big, it's a narrow piece of equipment. The wheels are pretty close together, but that's heavy, 170 something pounds.
It is.
Exactly. I mean, that's more than most guys can just pick up.
Yeah. And you put me in it at 175, I guess.
And you got something there,
you
about
got
well.
Right there. Yeah.
Well, Gordon, Tom's brother, Gordon, who's been visiting with us all day, decided that what Tom needed, and he did, was a way to carry that wheelchair around. So you'd go to, we've got a new Home Depot that you've never been to because you don't have your chair and you don't feel like walking because it's a big old place. You'd be a quarter of a mile from your car.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'd go to Lowe's and their electric scooters are not available. So,
they don't have
that
many.
Deal.
You have
can't
own,
get a scooter.
You go, you know.
Yeah.
So anyway, Gordon, bless his heart, decided that Tommy needed a van or something with a lift on the back of it. So he came down and brought him a van and mounted a lift on the back that will lift this chair. You set the chair on the lift, you push a button, and whoosh, your chair goes up, and it's locked to that lift, so it hangs on the back of your van.
Right.
You roll the back window down on the van with a push button, get your sticks, get your crutches out, walk around, get in the car, and go, and reverse the procedure
exactly.
when you get to Home Depot.
Can't beat it with
now,
the
Now, did they have the push? Was that window a standard thing on this car? They
yes, it was.
That's amazing.
Let me tell y'all something. The wheelchair lift in the car was a family thing. As you know, Houston has a very large family, and they were all contributors to it.
Yeah.
Okay. So it was a family
thing.
Well,
yeah, I didn't mean to single you out, but that was awful nice of you to put it all together and bring it down. And he appreciates it, and we appreciate you helping him.
Oh, yeah.
Get him to shut up about it. Or find a way to carry this wheelchair around. I sure would like to go to Home Depot. Now these guys no excuse.
Store.
No excuse for not taking us to Home Depot. No,
he
said
that one time, and Gordon said, problem solved.
Problem solved. Well, it's going to be nice, and I can't wait. We'll next, as soon as this damn rain quits, we'll all go to Home Depot, and I think last time we went to Lowe's, I pushed you, didn't I?
Yes, you sure did.
I think I pushed you through. We went and signed some little.
That would have been a deal, wouldn't it? Blind guy.
Well, you were
a guy in a wheelchair. No, not me.
Yes,
not
you were.
Me. No, no.
Oh, I guess Patterson. Maybe Patterson was with us.
I thought Shaw was, but maybe it was Patterson.
It was right after we went to that Mexican, Italian restaurant.
That's
there.
The other one. I wasn't at
that.
He says that it was the Italian restaurant. He sat right there at the table with us.
All four of us sat there, and he denies
and
going.
And he drinks less than any of us.
Oh, man, what a deal.
He'd remember these things.
What a deal.
Anyway, that's not the reason. The only reason Gordon's here. Gordon's here, of course, to visit with his. You're younger. Are you younger than Tom? Or?
Yes, I'm the youngest boy.
Right. You should have said, by quite a few years.
No, I told him everything you know.
Told him everything.
Especially about those lawnmowers.
Before you move away from the wheelchair, though, let me tell you this.
Okay.
This piece of equipment is something else. I mean, it's unreal. Gordon looked at it from the standpoint of not sitting in it. I sit in it, and he just started observing it and started telling me things I could do. And I've had it since December 2nd, and he's telling me, hey, it'll do this, it'll do that, it'll do this.
Well, like what?
And then this morning, well, for example, the arms will extend. Both arms will extend.
You hadn't figured that out?
I had not even paid any attention to it. It fit me. I didn't care, you know. But he's looking at it, and he's very observant, and which is a sign of intelligence, I understand. And he is my brother, you know.
Well, I can't believe you didn't figure that out.
But here's the kicker.
All right.
He sat there with my granddaughter, Amanda, this morning,
mm-hmm.
and drew the circuitry out just exactly the way that motor works. I mean, with the batteries that I have in it.
Yeah.
I mean, just drew it out just exactly how that thing works, where you can turn it around on the dime. One wheel will go one direction while the other wheel's going the other direction.
What a deal.
I mean, he just drew the circuit. He said, this is the way that thing works. I said, goodness gracious.
What a deal.
What can I say? I've got a smart little brother from
you.
No wonder
this show's in jeopardy. this show's in jeopardy. He'll probably have his own show next week.
Oh, hey,
Gordon Vitchung.
I knew he wouldn't know if I was right or wrong. So.
we're damn lucky to have him. Anyways, well, let's talk a minute about, since it is the spring time in most places, and it is springtime here, except it's raining a little bit, about
today.
We've touched on this a lot of times before, but maybe somebody hadn't heard the shows, about air conditioner maintenance, because it's not long till it's time to turn those on. And they're,
that's the truth.
Like lawnmowers, there's a lot of things, do's and don'ts with air conditioners that you need to do. Gordon, you want to talk about that?
Yeah, we're all guilty of it.
Yeah.
Everybody has central heat and air. They have a wall unit in their house, and they just ignore it. As long as it works, by golly, let's put a filter in it and run it.
That's right.
That's exactly
even,
what
even if
does.
They remember to put a filter in.
Right.
Yeah.
And the problem is you've got a little unit outside that's got a big coil in it that's extracting the heat out. And that thing gets stopped up because you run by it with that lawnmower we tuned up.
That's right.
You threw grass all in it and rocks and everything else you could throw at it.
Yep.
And it gets stopped up. And what happens when they begin to stop up is the unit begins to load up.
The efficiency goes way down.
Right. The efficiency goes way down. It loads up. Eventually, it'll load up to the point to where it can destroy your compressor, but normally it will burn the wire off the compressor, at which at such time as the maintenance guy come around and sell you a new compressor because your wire burned off. But you can put the wire back, and it'll work. But you need to keep that outside coil clean. And there is methods of doing it. They make a coil cleaner that you can buy. But the best thing to do really is to call a heating and air person and have them come out and clean that coil. It's essential. And, of course, all of us know to keep our inside filter clean.
Yeah.
And if we don't do that, expect a big repair bill.
You assume people know that, but a lot of people don't.
Yeah.
We know a couple guys. We have a guy here with us that had an air conditioner problem one time, and they came out and they said, Mr., we won't call his last name, your filter is stopped up. He said, well, I was just embarrassed, Philip. I just couldn't believe I'd done that. So I had to let that filter get stopped up. Who would that be?
When the show's over, will you tell me who it is?
I'll tell you which one of your brothers it is when the show's over. Gordon.
Okay.
But now, here's what I do. Now, the deal now is when the bill comes in, that reminds you when to clean the filter.
Clean the filter. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
In my case,
that's
you clean it.
That's a good tip.
That's a good thing.
That's what you do.
That's a good tip.
Hope he doesn't. The efficiency goes to pot when you
sure it does. The air conditioner.
Do those things.
We went up to John Conley's, and I said, my God, it's hot in here. It is. Let me turn this up. And he turned it up. It didn't get any cooler. I went, and his filter was sucked. It was concaved.
I couldn't believe it.
But, you know, he had just not, it didn't cross his mind. But change the filter, and don't put any furniture around in front of that return air.
That's right.
If you do.
Got to get air.
Somebody
help me here. On a house with central heat and air, aren't the doors, interior doors, supposed to clear the floor by three-quarters
they
of
do.
An inch?
They do. They do.
To allow circulation.
You can stand, when the door's closed in my bedroom, you can stand if you're barefooted and feel air being pulled coming out from under the
edge.
There's a little clearance there now.
And I do know that, I do know that whatever your furnace puts out, the duct system is supposed to allow it into the house. And that's another major problem with heat and air. I have actually done remodel jobs when the duct system, say you had a unit that would produce 1,200 CFM, and the duct system was letting out 600 CFM.
Yeah, way too
small.
So
you create a back pressure and you burn a unit up quick, especially on the heating side.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
If the ductwork is too low.
The duct system is crucial. You can buy any brand unit made, and I don't care how efficient they say the unit is, if you don't have the duct system, you can forget it. Because it's in the duct system.
I don't know whether I did right or not, but we built, Luann built this, I built this building. She built the house, and we built it in 1991, and we weren't married, and they pretty well told me, because I've had a lot of opinions. You might have noticed being around me that I might have an opinion or
not
two.
Not you, Phil. No.
No way. No.
And more important, he will share
more
his opinions. Is it not something he would keep to himself?
More gay weddings than he did jobs. But anyway, they finally told me to go on mind my own business and shut up and leave the air conditioning people. Well, the first time I changed the filter, I turned the thing on and it was just, I mean, the grill was whistling. Making a little noise.
Oh, man.
My God, this doesn't have enough. And I moved the filter, and it just sucked the damn thing out of your hand.
Not big enough.
So I cut another return air.
You did a smart thing.
I cut another return air and gave it more air. I figured, man, if it wants that air, let's move. Of course, you can move too much air across a coil and keep it from cooling, but let's move a little more air across this coil. It seemed to help.
Right.
Yeah.
That was a smart move because... You know, there is a mathematical method for determining all your ductwork and all that stuff, and most companies do not do it, and they need to do it. The first thing you should do if you're hiring one is make them produce you something showing that before you allow them to install it.
Mm-hmm.
And I guarantee you, you'll be glad you did.
I'm living in a house for the first time where the return air is in the ceiling.
It is different.
I don't like that.
Well, that seems to be the way they're doing them now. I mean, you got that. There's no wall.
Hard to change that filter.
And, but my thing, I was going to ask a simple, question. We hope we have enough time. Like, do you like in the house, it's my wife and I, and sometimes, like, if you go into the smaller rooms, if you got the heater on, they're hotter than the rest of the house. Do you leave doors open and all vents open, or do you agree, or do you suggest closing vents in certain places and trying to regulate certain things that way?
Well, here's the deal. It's going to satisfy the thermostat in the room in which it's located.
Right.
Okay?
Yeah, right.
So,
well, the thermostat's in the hall around the corner from the return air that's in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
And over there is two bedrooms, but then there's a couple of bathrooms and the utility rooms. I wasn't even aware they put vents there, but they did.
Oh, yeah.
And they get hotter. I thought about closing the one in the utility room and then the two bathrooms.
What you get, I don't know what kind of furnace you have, but if you're dealing with oil or natural gas or propane or something.
Electric
like that.
Train heat pump.
Electric train heat pump.
Yeah.
Now, don't know much about a heat pump.
I didn't either.
Other than it pumps in the winter and it pumps in the summer and it pumps and it pumps and it pumps. But if you have a gas furnace or oil or whatever, and you start closing off vents, think about what's happening. You can't let out all of that heat.
The
that
air.
Yeah,
so where
does it go? It backs up to the furnace.
Right.
Which does what? Creates more heat.
Right.
Which creates a heat exchanger to bust. It'll make it bust quicker.
Yeah.
So to close the registers off, no. On a heat pump, you might get away with it.
But you're saying open the doors and do the whole house, let the whole house kind of
heat. No, we're about out of time. But, yeah, you know, used to they put dampers in ducts. They don't do that anymore.
Well, the damper was just to control the amount of volume of air going into that particular
area. That's right.
Area.
That's what he wants to do is control that air, but he's going to control it by partially closing the vent.
He's wanting to shut it off.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like I say, it's backing up in the unit at that point.
All right. Okay. We could discuss this endlessly. We got to go. Gordon Vick, thank you, sir.
Hey, thank you. Hey, can I say one thing?
What?
Thank you, guys. Y'all do a wonderful job. I'm proud to be here. And keep up the good work.
Thanks, Don Shaw, Don Patterson, Tom Houston. I'm Phil Parr. We'll see you next week. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw.
The Blind Handyman is produced by Out of Market Productions, 1604 Southwood Drive, Lufkin, Texas. Phone 936-634-9500.